Hello and welcome back to the Dune Minute Podcast, your daily podcast to dive minute by minute into the world of Dune. I'm one of your hosts, Zach.
And I'm a very confused host, John. You changed that up.
Just a little bit. I was riffing, man.
All right. Caught me off guard with that one. I'm John.
Today we are talking about minute 47 through 48 of the 2021 Denis Villeneuve Dune movie. If you've been with us this far, you know what movie we're talking about. I hope. If you're just joining, welcome.
Episode to join on.
Go listen to all the other ones. They're pretty good. This minute starts with some talk about plumbing, and it ends with something that should never be known.
Those together are terrifying.
So we dive right into the middle of Tufir Hawat's sentence yesterday. He said he ran the, and I actually didn't write down what he said after that, but he was talking about he ran the Hunter Seeker through the plumbing, I believe.
Through the water pipe inside the walls.
Water pipe inside the walls.
Sire, I failed you today. There's no excuse. You have my resignation.
That's right.
Well, I have a question.
Okay.
Does Thufir even have the option to resign?
I don't know.
Okay.
I think, because I
was under the understanding that, like,
Mentats
are like not owned, but they're
they pay for them. So.
Do they pay for them or do they pay the Mentat for their service? Like,
It's my understanding that a royal house will purchase a Mentat.
That's weird. Don't like that.
Again, these people are not good people.
I never said that they were. All right, cool. So Thufir Hawat is a slave, I guess.
We're not going to get into the intricacies there, I guess.
Well, I mean, if he was bought, then.
Yes, I think technically he is. One would hope that he does have the ability to resign. But I don't know. I have not read their contract.
Got to get a lawyer on that.
Yeah, right.
If you're a space lawyer, email us. Let us know.
I wrote here a phrase that I know you have heard me say many a time, but I adapted it just a little bit for Dune. I said, Thufir Hawat is feeling lower than a sandworm's belly right now. About all this, he's so sad. And
goddamn.
Yes, he tries to tender his resignation. Leto's not having it. He goes, "I don't give a damn about your honor."
No, he says, "You would deprive us of your talents at this time."
Which is a cool line. Love that.
Sure. Which to me, like, that section was like, okay, maybe he does have some agency to resign.
I think he does.
And then Thufir is like, "Sir, my honor demands." And then Leto is like, "They tried to take the life of my son. I'm not Oscar Isaac and I don't have his bravado. I'm sorry. I don't give a damn about your honor. You want some absolution? Go catch some spies." And that's then cool. Like,
yeah.
Thufir is like,
"Okay.
Your grace." And just like kind of bows and walks off. Yeah. First of all, the scene makes me really upset that we don't get much more of Stephen McKinley Henderson in this movie, because he does such a great job playing Thufir. I mean, he's great in everything that he's ever in. He's a fantastic actor. But I understand Denis's desire to have more of a Bene Gesserit focused story. I just wish that we had more Thufir. But also, there's not much more that Thufir has to offer.
Oh, hard disagree. There's a whole plot line, talking about the first movie and looking into the future of the second movie. In the book, there is a big plot line that Thufir plays that they just completely left out.
All right. Well, egg on my face then.
Yeah. No, they could have done a lot with him. And I think cut they did. Well, no, absolutely not. I'll cut out all the parts that make me look dumb.
Okay. I see how this is.
Correct me if I'm wrong here, but I think they filmed a lot of Thufir stuff, but then cut it out.
They did say that they filmed quite a bit.
Yeah, which sucks. So
it makes me want an extended edition.
We're never going to get it.
I know we're never going to get it, but goddamn, I would pay like dead ass would probably pay at least like $60
sure.
for an extended edition Dune, even with like unfinished CG elements or whatever.
Yeah. You've seen those movies where they like, they cut in deleted scenes and some of the deleted scenes are just like storyboards.
Yeah.
But so they've got the audio recorded or whatever for them. They didn't film anything.
Yeah. I mean, I want to see what this movie had potential to be like as they were filming it. And then like, just thinking about how many minutes or hours of stuff is just on the cutting room floor. It makes me sad.
Well, speaking of things on the floor, we got to cut over to Gaty Prime.
That was such an awful transition.
Why? That was a great one. Because we cut over to Gaty Prime.
Well, we're in space at Gaty Prime.
Well, yeah.
We got a whole bunch of
what is a planet but the floor of space?
How can it be on the floor if space is in?
I don't want to get into it.
Three dimensions.
I don't want to get into it.
Okay.
So we cut over to Gaty Prime.
Gaty Prime isn't a flat planet. Only Earth is flat, Zach. Get it right.
That's fair. That's fair. I forgot.
Dumbass.
And we are jump scared by this weird thing.
Well, before this, we have an egg. So we cut to Gaty Prime, right? It's very clearly Gaty Prime because it is a gray, dead, boring ass, lifeless planet. We have all of the Harkonnen bug ships, but then we get a little.
Oh, that's right. We get the egg coming.
The little out. Egg.
That's right. That's right.
Flying
that's
in right. the Gaty Prime. I think, Who else I think, would it be? But Gaius Helen Moheim, baby, let's fucking go.
Then we cut to the interior shot, which is what I was talking about. I guess my mind just blanked out that second or two before this.
Yeah. See, this is why you need to have pictures in your notes as well.
I want to go through that work.
Oh yeah.
Apple TV, watching it on Apple TV, I can't take screenshots.
Oh, you actually watch it on your TV.
No, I'm on my computer. Whenever okay. I go to make a screenshot, at least on Windows.
Yeah, no, okay. So here's
it like
here's,
blacks it out.
Here's the thing. I have it both on I have it on Apple to watch it for the minutes, but then I have another window open in HBO in my browser for taking my screenshots.
Oh, okay. Well, you also have like 17 monitors at your computer.
I have two.
Whatever. Nerd.
Motherfucker, you're the one with the Dune podcast and you're calling me a nerd.
Hey man, G stands alone.
But yes, so anyways, Helen Moheim's egg makes its way into orbit over the lifeless planet of Gaty Prime, and then
we get
a spider.
Well, sort of. It's like a BDSM spider.
In my notes, I called the spider Boris.
Why?
Have you never heard of the... Okay, so you know the band The Who?
Sure.
They have a song called Boris the Spider.
Oh, no. You know my views on classic rock, John.
Yeah, but it's a song called Boris the Spider. Okay. So... in my notes, it's just Boris.
It's a real A to C reference there.
Hey, you know what? I like The Who. Fuck you.
Officially credited as the human rubber spider. I think that's what it is
in the credits.
Yeah.
The human rubber. All right. Cool.
It's a weird looking spider thing eating flesh off the floor in a bowl with human hands.
It's the hands at the end of all eight of its feet. And it's so also weird. Got a human head that we don't see, but we see like what looks like a weird spider butt thing just floating in the air. It's
so weird, man.
And Gaius Helen Moheim does not like this thing at all.
Before we move too far away from it. I showed you this before we started recording.
Yes.
So I want to go back and talk about it just a little bit.
Absolutely.
So there is a person inside of this. This was not CGI, as it was not entirely CGI, I guess. I'm sure there are some elements of it.
Sure.
Incorporated.
Some of the extra limbs, I'm sure.
And this person is credited as the operator of the rubber spider, human rubber spider.
Human rubber spider.
It is Melina Sidorova. Sidorova. Melina Sidorova. Yeah, inside the suit is a person named Melina Sidorova. And she is a ballerina known for creating a dance called the spider. And I showed you this YouTube video. It is deep. I found it to be beautiful, but unsettling.
It is. It's very strange.
It's impressive. It is very impressive.
Look it up. If you're listening, look up the spider dance. Yep.
It's only like a minute and a half long.
Yep. It's
but you can see, like, you can see clear similarities between what she does on the stage. And it's the same person, in this video clip on YouTube. That is in the movie.
Yep.
So we were talking after we watched that, we were talking a little bit about some theories that we had or that we read on the internet.
The internet would never lie to us about anything, Zach.
Well, they are theories about what, you know, this spider is. I think the most likely, albeit vague, explanation is that this was a mutilated human or humans, multiple people put together into to form this weird fucking spider thing.
So there's three main theories, and I think that the truth is a mixture of all three, as it tends to be with most things regarding theories. The first is that this spider is a product of the Harkonnen's massive amounts of wealth, and we'll get into how much wealth that is later on. I believe that's either the end of this week or the start of next week, but either way, we'll get into that amount of wealth here soon enough in a couple episodes. Plus their relationship with the Bene Tlilax, the Tlilax pronunciation comes from Frank Herbert's own mouth, from the Dune Trilogy soundbook. I want to shout out Usul.net for having...
Usul.net? I've never heard of this.
Yeah. Usul.net has recordings of Frank Herbert giving proper pronunciations of a lot of these strange words. I'll have
to go check that out. That sounds really cool.
Also worth noting, Peter DeVries was also twisted by the Bene Tlilax.
Yep.
So there is a known relationship between the BT and and the Harkonnens.
That's true.
Another theory is that this is a certain character's family member. And we'll talk a little bit more about that as we get along to that point in the movie.
Yep. Coming up soon.
Or it's simply just a nod at Jodorowsky, who Denis Villeneuve is a known fan of.
Yeah. And Jodorowsky famously had a very trippy version of Dune planned.
Yeah. We'll probably end up doing like a special
episode
like with that.
The documentary that's out, Jodorowsky's Dune, is very good. Very good documentary. Mm-hmm. He is a strange person.
He was not going to be kind to Dune.
No. So I think it's worth us spending some time talking about.
Sure. But as I mentioned earlier, Geis Hellermoheim does not like the spider. No. She even just straight up says, "The thing must leave."
Then Peter's like, "It doesn't understand our language."
It doesn't understand your language.
Your language.
Which further makes me believe that.
Yeah.
It's a Bene Tlilax thing because
he would be able to
communicate with it.
That's good. Yeah.
Yeah. And then we just hear the heavily distorted voice, "Get out." And then the spider just stops eating and spider walks away.
Creepily walks out. So in this, so when Moheim uses the voice on the spider,
yes.
If we take Piter at his word that it doesn't understand her language, but she clearly speaks in, for all intents and purposes, English.
Yeah.
To this creature, and it obeys her. So is the voice a language agnostic thing?
I would assume so, because when we first talked about the voice, you mentioned that the encyclopedia talks about how it essentially speaks to an unconscious brain, not a conscious brain. So
yes,
you can portray your demands or desires or whatever through the voice to anything, and it will understand.
Even if you're not speaking the language that it...
Yeah.
Okay.
That's kind of how I...
Yeah, I'll get
like the
that.
Voice
yeah.
is so powerful that it transcends language itself.
Yeah, I get behind that.
Yeah.
I just thought it was cool. Yeah, it's like, it understands.
Yeah, and that's exactly what she says. It understands. and then she... One of my favorite parts of the movie is this whole scene from here on out. She just goes, activate silence. And then we see this very like almost like milky opaque veil drop over.
We get a cone of silence.
Yeah.
We get a sci-fi trope across so many different franchises and stories. We get a cone of silence. I love it.
Correct me if I'm wrong, and I'm probably wrong, but is this not a side effect of a Holtzman field generator as well?
I would have to imagine. I mean, if there's a thing that works like magic,
it's probably Holtzman.
It's probably Holtzman.
All right, yeah. Shout out Holtzman.
It can probably be tied back to that guy. So yeah.
God, we really need to like
we'll do it.
Do
we'll,
our Holtzman.
We'll do it one day. Yeah. I absolutely love the sound design in this next couple of seconds.
Oh yeah,
that we just see them talking. We don't hear anything except like super 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 muted. Like voices.
Yeah.
Cannot just.
It's hard. But even like more muted than that.
I mean, we.
I don't even know how well that's going to come across the audio, but.
We'll find out.
Yeah.
But yeah, we hear them talking. We see them talking. Cannot hear what they're saying.
They barely even look like they're talking though.
Well, yeah. I mean, they're talking in like their normal.
Yeah.
Like, kind of hushed tones. They all kind of speak in hushed tones. To begin with, but the subtitles keep going, and I love that.
Yep.
So we get to hear.
Yeah, it'd be really awkward if they just like didn't explain to the audience what was going on, and then you just dropped halfway into a conversation. It's like, what the fuck?
That reminds me, the new series Shogun that's out.
Yes.
You can't do this, unfortunately, but I would love to do this. I would love to watch it for the first time with zero subtitles.
Yeah.
Just to see. So I can feel
just from the perspective of,
yeah, of the Englishman.
Yeah.
Just how exactly lost he is.
I mean, you can just put on like Demon Slayer or whatever and like not have the subtitles on.
Yeah.
And just fair. Good luck figuring it out.
But, anyways, back to Dune.
Yeah.
So shout out
to Shogun, by the way. It's such a fantastic series.
Amazing series.
Yeah.
This whole part where we are seeing their mouth move, but not hearing them, really, really reminded me of 2001, A Space Odyssey.
The scene where Hal is reading their lips and stuff. Yeah.
It gave me that imagery, like just right off the bat.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, I don't think we get subtitles in that movie. It's been a long time since I've seen it. I think we just see the lips moving, and of the characters, and we don't really know what they're talking.
You
about.
See the camera panning back and forth from Hal's perspective, so you can see that Hal is like watching them speak.
Yep. So that's really the vibe that I got when I was watching this like couple of seconds. Doesn't last long.
They're not doing the thing in baseball where they're all talking into their gloves and stuff.
That's true. That'd be kind of strange if they just pulled out like catcher's mitts.
Pulled out catcher's mitts and just. So anyways.
but we, the camera shifts into the cone of silence, to where we can hear them, speaking. Well, sorry, back up the subtitles, yes. for what we don't get to hear. It goes, what is the Emperor's message? And, presumably Moheim then responds with, he will strengthen your hand with his Sardaukar army.
Yep.
So confirmation that the Emperor is in on this. I mean, this is something that we kind of all knew. But, yeah, confirmation that he is definitely assisting the Harkonnens.
How dare he?
With their plans. And, yeah, this is confirmation from the Moheim's mouth.
Yep.
Then it cuts into, the cone of silence, and we hear Moheim say, it must never be known.
And that's where our minute ends.
It ends right there. Interestingly enough, this scene does not happen in the books. I think that's for obvious reasons. I mean, this is really they're telling, not showing here.
Sure.
But for a moviegoer's benefit, I think this is a very well executed scene.
For a condensing Dune into 2.5 hours.
Yes. Yeah. They're making a bunch of strides. You know, this is slightly out of character for Moheim, who is she's a planner. She's, you know, very, very much behind the scenes. If you think about
as all Bene Gesserit are.
Yeah. So it's kind of weird that she's going to the person who's about to, you know, usurp a family on a planet, saying, hey, we're going to help you out with this. They're just out loud. That's weird. So in the books, it is a much more subtle thing that we discover over time. And for the movie, I think it's fine that they just, you know, lay it out for us, because that is not the point.
We got to move along.
Yeah. It's not the point. We don't need to discover that as we go along in this movie. It is something that we can just get out in the open. Does not change the overall pacing. If anything, it quickens the pacing of the movie.
Yeah.
And just gives us a better viewing experience. So I'm completely fine with it, as a book nerd. And it's a cool scene too.
Yeah.
All right, man. Well, yeah. Anything else, any other notes on this minute?
That's it for this minute. Loved, seeing the spider do its weird, creepy thing. And, you know, next minute, tomorrow, we'll be talking a little bit more about what's going on inside this cone of silence.
Absolutely. All right, cool. Well, join us back tomorrow. Before we go, if you'd like to get in touch with us, you can reach out to us on Twitter at Dune Minutes. We are available via old-fashioned Gmail at duneminute@gmail.com. And we are on Instagram, where I need to post more. I've not done a lot recently.
I realized. Yeah.
Yeah. I'll get better at it. We are on Instagram at the Dune Minute. So if you'd like to connect with us and send us a message, we'd love to hear from you. So yeah, we'll be back tomorrow to continue talking about this scene.
We'll see you then.
See
you.